Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Aaron Flores, and with me in the studio today, we have three wonderful guests. Eric Iverson, swing bike enthusiast and grill by bike organizer. This is where you would say hi.
Yeah, hello, I'm Eric.
JP Cooley, is that yes, is that
correct.
Right? Cooley, all
hello,
right.
Hello, everyone.
Swing bike enthusiast and swing bike grill bike Zubom expert.
That's correct, according to Eric.
And you're going to have to get closer to that mic there, unfortunately. Do you want me to adjust the height of that a little bit more? Like if you grab the base. Oh, yeah, that'll work. All right. See, we're still figuring things out here, folks. And lastly, we have Eilif Knutson.
Knutson.
Yeah.
Hello,
K,
everybody.
It is a hard K. You're described as all-round badass biker, carpenter, painter, bike polo veteran, Corvallis bike fun instigator, and inspiration for Grilled by Bike.
That's thank you, Eric.
Welcome. It's all true.
So Eric wrote these intros for me, or these bios for me, as you and I have had kind of a back and forth by email.
It's all
around,
true.
Around it's getting all... you on the sprocket here. And so things sort of snowballed, and you asked a couple of your friends over. So just, I guess, what made you think about bringing some friends as opposed to just you and I?
Because a majority of my bike fun happens with these two guys.
Right on.
And so... all you know, the swing bike aspect, JP is heavily involved with, and then Eilif here was the inspiration and motivation to do the Grilled by Bike. So I met Eilif about a year ago. This is kind of a romance story.
A romance of Vikings.
Yeah, we both have the Norwegian heritage. Skull. And we met it. It was at the Cargo Bike welcome party last year for the DRT.
Yeah, I was literally just rolling down the street, coming home from work. I work at Western Bike Works. I was building a planter box for him. And it's a hot day. I was coming home and like saw a good 80 people just out in front of Joe Bikes there, chilling, bunch of bike people. I was like, I should probably stop and check this out.
And you just happened to have... a propane
I did have a bar
attached to a seat tube.
Yeah, I did have a barbecue. I had my propane grill mounted on
like you were just riding like every day.
Yeah, we had just done like a work party barbecue summer event, and I had a couple days before grilled up a rack of ribs on there and just kind of had it set up for that, and I just hadn't had time to take it off yet, and So.
And so he comes in with his mantra, which is riding on fire.
Ride on fire.
With some big blue flames coming out the back. So we just started talking, and I was like, I need to be friends with this guy.
Right on. let's, before we get into the interview proper, let's talk about what we're drinking here.
Sure.
So, Eric, you told me, hey, we all like IPAs, so whatever you... decide in that realm.
I heard on the last show you get it at the beer mongers.
Yes, that's where we've been getting our beers. They don't pay us to endorse them, but we still spend our money over there.
I'll have to give some props because my girlfriend Krista works there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's an awesome place. Whether she works there or not, it's still awesome.
They're really cool to us, and yeah, I don't mind the atmosphere there at all.
So I'm drinking Burnside Oatmeal Pale Ale, which is one of their flagships, I believe, and it's delicious. JP?
Yeah, I quickly grabbed the gigantic IPA from the... beer selection.
You quickly grabbed it.
Happens to be one of my favorites.
Okay. Well, so,
nice.
Appreciate it.
Yes, Cyclops was just staring me down. Cyclops IPA by Cascade Lakes Brewing Company. It's excellent.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, thanks for the drinks.
Yeah, sure.
What do you have?
So one of the things that Beer Mongers Well, it's beer mongers, so they have lots of beer. They don't have so much non-alcoholic drinks there. And you know, those of you who've listened, you know I don't drink alcohol. But I came with Lionheart Kombucha, which is low sugar, raw probiotic, and 100% organic. Has two ingredients, raw kombucha infused with fresh ginger. It's...
How is it?
Strong.
It's like alcohol for non-alcoholics.
Yeah, no, it really punches me in the face.
I'd say it's good for you.
I've actually been impressed with how many different types of drinks you bring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Mostly getting them at grocery stores. Honestly, I'm not like... I mean, there is like Fizz Downtown, I think is the name of the shop. It's a, you know, candy slash soda shop. And then there's one on Belmont and like 33rd. Called Cosmic, which I should be spending money at because I have a gift certificate that I haven't cashed in yet. Sorry, Brock. He was kind enough to set me up with one, but I just keep forgetting to go over there. Yeah, so hey, let's talk about swing bikes because holy shit, that's awesome.
Glad you liked it.
So yeah, you guys met me outside before we started recording, and... you know, you had emailed me beforehand, Eric. You're like, is there going to be time to do this? And I think my response was like, either before or after, like, we're going to make time to do this. But so you set me up with JP's swing bike because the seat was easily adjusted.
Yep. And it's one of the, I'd say the one of the best ones to start out on.
So it's not like a, it's just like a behemoth of a, you know, electric assists.
You know, creation. A lot of people make custom swing bikes, which is probably cooler than all of our swing bikes because they're custom.
Right.
But a lot of times those are really kind of finicky. They have their strange personalities, might not be good at high speed. But ours are kind of manufactured and engineered by some folks in California.
Swing bike professionals.
Yeah. It's called americasbikecompany.com if anyone wants to look into it. It's not a sponsor plug.
But, none of our plugs are sponsored plugs.
Yeah,
we're doing all this shit for free.
That's where you can get them. I found all mine used on Craigslist or from friends.
Okay.
And when I say all mine, I have three because it's started to become a little bit of an obsession.
Wow. And so, yeah, you set me up. The first things you said to me, or both you guys said to me, was we got to take it uphill first.
Yep. So maybe we should explain a swing bike if
yeah,
people haven't heard
yeah,
it.
Good yeah. idea.
So basically you have a second headset, just like you would on the front of the bike, but it's welded to your seat post or seat tube in various ways. Sometimes they'll split up the top tube and down tube and put some sort of a pivot there. On ours, it's right next to the seat tube, which I think gives a little bit better geometry. So anyway, your whole bike is swiveling. So we get a lot of strange comments like, is that an exercise bike? Like, is that good for your abs? Clearly it's not for
How's that working?
Yeah. I don't know. It probably is. Yeah. You know.
JP, what have you heard about random comments?
Yeah. I mean, most people want to know, you know, what's the point of a swing bike? And to me,
and those people are missing the whole point of a lot of things.
They kind of miss the point because my answer, which it's baffling to me that I usually pretty much the only answer is that it's more fun. And that answer usually isn't good enough for people.
Yeah. There's no advantage.
It's not, so good enough.
Yeah.
No.
They're like, why should I take time out of my day? You know, but it's like, you know what? You need to have a little more fun, it sounds like, you know?
And so a lot of people might have seen one or ridden one for a short period, kind of like you did, just on a block where you don't really get the true experience until you're getting some downhill speed. And on a good downhill, you're able to lay it over, and it's almost like carving a snowboard or something. Because those tires, I don't know if you noticed, but they're like beach cruiser tires.
Yeah.
And they have grip all the way around. So, you can lay it way over.
Oh, you can.
And
okay.
And have good grip. So.
And so, I don't know if you noticed, when I went to turn around, I, like, put one foot down, You know, because that's my instinct as I'm leaning into a turn. You know, I know, okay, there's a good chance I'm going to slide right out.
Yep.
But not so the case with right. swing bikes.
You don't need to, yeah. I mean, the frame pretty much pivots so that you can turn, like, with your rear tire, you can kind of steer. And essentially, the turning radius, I think you saw us pretty yeah. much turn around the bike. Which,
like chasing your tail.
Literally turning on a dime.
And so one of our favorite things to do is to do the Zubom on Sundays, even though we both work Monday mornings.
You do the Zubom on your swing
yeah,
bikes.
Because that's one of the best places to get some proper speed without traffic.
I'm going to have to start. You guys are definitely, you're committing Sunday nights. All right.
Yep.
I got to start committing to that because, I mean, I can't commit Friday nights, but I can commit a Sunday night.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got to do it.
Good times.
And so where were we? So we talked about how the swing bike works. What was your original question? I forgot.
How the swing bike works. Yeah. How it's different. I mean, it's obviously different from, you know, your regular frame you've got. Yeah. You said earlier an extra headset, mm-hmm. basically right in the middle.
Oh yeah, and I think it's like how we got into it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. What's your interest there?
And so for me personally, it came through a series of friends. So I'm into this sport called rally racing, which is a motorsport. Don't tell anyone I'm into a motorsport.
That's right. Yeah. No, I was looking up, because I do some minimal research every now and then.
Okay.
And you had a link. It's pretty hilarious. You had a link to. The joke was like you trying out a rally trail and it's just you in a helmet running down the trail.
Yeah, that was at Forest Park.
Yeah, there was other links that were sure. were rally car related. Yeah.
So I won't spend a lot of time on that, but rally racing is like Subaru's racing through the woods.
Right, and you often do like these fishtail type
sure.
slides.
Yeah. And that really didn't have anything to do with the swing bikes, except for a couple people in the sport acquired swing bikes from the swing bike company in California. And that's when I rode it for the first time and just fell in love with it. And so I eventually bought a used one. And I had so much fun on it, riding it around Portland. I thought it would just kind of be like this joke bike. I rode to Apex and back.
Sure.
And I just fell in love with it, and it actually got me so much into biking. I sold my car, and I've been carless like a year and a half now, and then acquired two more swing bikes. I'm also kind of a cargo bike junkie, and that's how I met Brock.
Okay.
And so then I built that cargo...
The cargo swing bike.
Cargo swing bike, courtesy of Tom's Cargo Bikes. That's a definite plug. not authorized
that's
by
right.
the Sprocket.
That's
definitely
all right.
Endorsed.
No, Tom's Cargo Bikes is
yeah.
it's cool with us.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, we're cool with that.
Yeah, he built Brock's too.
Yeah, his yeah. tall bike, yep.
Yeah, so so Tom was down to build this crazy project, and it turned out awesome.
Yeah, it did.
So that's my story. I don't want to talk a lot. What about you, JP?
Well, I think I was able to ride one of your swing bikes for a day. And that was pretty much, I think, all it takes for anyone to decide to commit to swing biking. Amazingly, you don't see many around town, so I don't know if...
JP is just baffled why there aren't swing bikes everywhere.
Yeah, basically, why are you not having as much fun as us?
Yeah, yeah, it's a funny, you know, it's like, wait a minute.
So you see people like on their daily commute and you just kind of like shake your head like you guys just don't get it.
Yeah, I'm able to move my bike to the music left and right. The entire frame is pretty much going left and right whenever I'm on my bike. So that's a lot more fun than riding in a straight line.
Yeah, I might agree with that.
And it really feels weird when we get back on rigid bikes.
Right,
because you try to, and it just doesn't do what you want it to.
Well, yeah, because one of the things I noticed is, you know, as you pedal, I mean, your hips are you're moving, so you're shifting your weight slightly on a rigid frame. You don't realize how much play that gives you, but like when on the swing bike, I don't know if you noticed as I was coming back up that hill, like yeah, I kind of was doing the slalom dance in a
yep.
way.
Yeah, the uphills are definitely tough.
Yeah, I remember that on my birthday, we were out there.
What was that?
And you were just, we were looking at that huge ass hill, and you're like, ah, God.
I definitely have moments of despair.
That's all part of the circle, you know. There's always a downside.
It's worth it for the downhills, just like bike touring or anything else.
Yeah. Right?
And they're not geared necessarily?
Yeah, just single speeds with the rear brake, no front. Because if you hit the front, it would just like accordion.
Oh, right.
that'd be a bad time.
Yeah. So sometimes we have to walk uphill.
But you've toured with them. You've done, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned going out to Stubb Stewart.
I don't know. How did that come about?
I pretty much found out that day that you wanted to go on a bike touring trip, and
JP's like, I'm down.
Yeah. Honestly, that whole trip, like, I couldn't stop thinking about the fact that, like, this is something I could pretty much put on my gravestone. I don't think any man before me has ever gone on a touring trip on a swing bike. So it's pretty amazing.
And like, how'd you guys carry your gear?
So we just have a standard rear rack, and then we each had a pannier and a bucket. And what did you have?
I had a bucket, and that's it.
Bucket.
And you guys rode from here out to Stubb Stewart?
No, we took the Max.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So is there was there like any kind of questions or like looks as you're bringing your swing bikes onto the Max? Or
that's always a challenge because they're just... by the nature of them, they're hard to carry.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you're on the Max, they're just kind of like
flopping around
like a fish out of water. And so you kind of have to stand with them the whole time and secure them. You can't. Well, actually, sometimes if there's room, we can hang them on the hooks, but not with all the gear on them.
Oh, yeah, certainly not.
But yeah, I mean, we made it. It was awesome. A friend, Alec, met us out there. We actually did some of the mountain bike trails the next day.
Really?
Yep. Which was fun.
That's
a little
next
too
level right there.
Yeah.
They got like, if I remember, they got like some jumps built in there.
Yeah, we didn't see any of that. Okay. Luckily. But because of the beach cruiser style tires and the wet mud, we didn't fare so well.
Oh no.
No wrecks though.
Right, yeah, we did it all without, you know, walking. It's a gradual incline the whole way up to Stubb Stewart, so it's pretty much about the most you could do on a swing bike tour.
So now we're like,
so you're not taking her out to Big Sur or Mount St. Helens or anything.
No.
I think I think you guys should give it a shot of doing clipless, because that'll make climbing better.
Put some egg beaters. On your
whatever. I mean this is just my idea, but you're absolutely right.
You know, it's been long overdue that I haven't tried that, because I have a pair.
You would be the guy to do it.
The concern was that when you're sideways, you might unclip.
That's why you gotta do
just loosen them up.
What I'm doing, the time allows you to float a lot more. Time is the clipless, you know, it's the retention that I use.
Look at that. I thought those were just regular shoes.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And
it's a lot more floating.
Yeah, they allow you to float a lot more. They're known for being all right to get into, but really hard to get out of, which is great when you want, you know, the kind of stuff, you know, that you're doing with your mountain biking, which I do. And primarily, and then doing this, that's a similar situation where you're in a, you know, fairly dynamic situation. Things coming at you, you know, things happen, and you got to stay clipped in. And a little float, you know, it might help you out there, like you're saying there. Yeah,
it won't sink the boat.
Yeah.
I want to get back to something you mentioned earlier. And you said getting on the swing bike sort of prompted you to get rid of your car.
Yeah.
So,
and this is coming from a car guy.
Right. You do rally cars.
Yeah, well, I don't really anymore. I'm still a fan of the sport.
Nothing wrong with that.
Involved with it, yeah. But, I mean, I had some car addictions there for a while. And I don't regret it. It was a fun time. I met a lot of cool people. But this is in the Midwest where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
And so once I moved out here and just never really drove my Subaru WRX, not a plug. I just never drove it and was like, let's try going carless. And I'm actually saving up. I want to get a camper van because Krista and I do a lot of backpacking. So that'd be a good
vehicle. And you're
going
to hook that to your swing bike?
Yeah, yeah. Tow the camper van up to Mount Hood.
What was I going to say about being car-free? Oh, yeah. So it's interesting because, you know, most people, when they decide to go car-free, they're looking into road. At least my experience here in Portland has been, you know, oh, I got this awesome road bike, or, you know, I went and, you know, rescued this road bike and converted it into a single gear or fixie, and now I'm car free here in the city. But it sounds like for you it wasn't so much the idea of getting out of the car and realizing, hey, I'm having fun here, versus the car and
yeah,
you know,
was,
why
yeah, you yeah
know.
it was the fun level, really. Yeah. Yeah, I think, like you said, a lot of people will sell their car with the eye on the prize of getting that sweet road bike or whatever it may be, sweet commuter bike.
Or even for just the ideal of being car-free.
Yeah, definitely. You know? And that was a part of it, just to give it a go, because I see so many people doing it here. I was like, I want to try that, and the swing bike enabled me to do it.
Right on. We'll switch gears a little bit, because... I don't know if Brock met you at Grilled by Bike, but Grilled by Bike is like a main connection for you and Brock. And so let's talk about grilling by bike.
Sure.
What was the impetus of this? How did you guys go about doing it? And I mean, I heard it was a big success, but yeah, we'd love to hear the experience about all of this. And will there be more grill outs?
Yeah, bye-bye. So I'll start
first answer, yeah. Yes.
They already have that.
Yes.
So I'll kind of explain the history, and then you guys can talk about the experience. So again, we met ILF with the propane grill on the back of his bike, and so we started talking about how cool it would be to do a pedal-palooza ride where we're actually grilling while riding.
I love how it actually happened, too. You know, many of my ideas just kind of... You know, I spend most of my time just coming up with sweet ideas, and most of them don't happen. But luckily,
I mean,
you're talking
of
to
many
air,
young
you know.
Americans here.
But yeah, I'm glad how it took a year and a half or so, but we finally got around to it. So,
and we just made a little cheesy 8-bit graphic that we put on,
which
the
was awesome,
Palooza.
By the way. Yeah, you know. You know, I may have come up with the idea for this stuff, but I wouldn't have brought it to this level, or I'd just be rolling around. I'd just be that fool rolling around with a barbecue on his bike still. Then nobody would be like, well, yeah, which I've been for a long time. But Eric here made all this stuff, made all it happen, you know, so it's...
That's how it goes. The goal of the ride was we met up at Lad Circle, and... We encourage people to bring a meat or fake meat of their choice. We told them we'd have a keg on hand and that we'd ride around town grilling. We had two grill bikes, one keg bike. We were expecting maybe 20 people.
Yeah, I was hoping for about 20 because that was about all the food we had.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing, you know, there's a great thing about it. And, you know, when I tell people in like 15 seconds about the ride, it's like, yeah, I was hoping for like... 20 people, like, a bunch of hot dogs and stuff. Here people are showing up with, you know, new seasons and all sorts of great food. It's like, yeah, I'll burn your, you know, $20 steak. Great. Yeah, let's do this.
And then another thing we weren't prepared for was I had a couple requests for, is there a vegan grill? So that's something we're adding to our repertoire.
Vegan's trickier to cook because there's no grease in there to cook. You know, a lot of... When it comes to layman's grilling or high speed grilling, as we do here, you know, that's really what defines us differently from post grilling bike experiences, which are awesome, and you know they're out there, as I've checked out and seen. But what we do is, you know, grilling, you know, ride on fire, you know, like, you know, grill while you ride. It's not just like showing up to a spot and
it's not like
busting
out
the grill.
Right. You like, carried a grill with you.
I was like, oh, I have a grill. Yeah. It's like, no, we're going on a ride. And we're going to grill together, and you're going to enjoy it. You know?
and so maybe we weren't clear here, but we have Iliff and JP here. Both had grills mounted to either their handlebars or forks or some variants.
Yeah, between us two, me and JP here definitely commit to the front barbecue, which is solid if you're on top. JP here is the best barbecue set up for the front.
On a swing bike.
On a swing bike, which is definitely nice. A first on many different levels. Like that, you know, he's breaking the sound barrier of cycling in a way with the swing bike barbecue for sure. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, anybody can come to us and, you know, if they've done it, I'd be, you know.
Yeah, and for me, the swing bike was my only bike. And honestly, I hadn't even seen Iliff's bike. And so this was all, I don't know if it was planned out by you guys, but it was pretty spontaneous. I was, didn't you just submit the Pedalpalooza post from a bar
like,
one night?
Oh, we're going to grilling. Oh, well, okay. All right.
I figured if I made the post, it had to happen.
Yeah. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Because if you say any other way, if you talk about it like I do, it's not going to happen. But if you put a date.
Eric made it happen by committing us to an event. I didn't have a grill on my bike, and that was actually kind of a story in of itself. Was getting my bike ready before, I don't remember what it was, the date of the ride,
forging the sword, if you will.
And we basically had gotten together. Like, I think the first night that we were testing it for real was the night before the ride, and
at Zubam.
Yeah,
I was impressed. I was definitely like thinking like, man, I know this guy can ride a swing bike like son of a gun, but well, I hope he can do a swing bike and a grill, because I can't.
And the Zubam was the ultimate test. Luckily my grill actually has hinges with wing nuts, which were put to the test on the Zubam. Like, pretty much the left side completely came unscrewed, and I think I lost you guys that night.
Yeah.
I ended up having to just go home, and I was like, okay, I'm going to the hardware store tomorrow morning, getting lock nuts, and I'll be ready for tomorrow.
Like a boss.
And so your grill, you mounted it, it opens away from you or correct. Towards
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so I can tend the grill. Actually, okay. The only time I did it was on that.
That makes sense.
The grill bike ride was the first time actually trying to use I have a spatula rack on the side of there's basically a wood frame that holds the grill, kind of cools it while it's riding.
Okay.
And Iliff was the mastermind. We had kind of like one night where we all got together in Eric's basement, and
that was awesome, by the way. That was never gonna happen again, but like pure gold right there. That was some really sketchy brainstorming on a circular saw.
And yeah. Very, very educated, I might add.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So we threw it together, and yeah, it's basically like the perfect grill to put on a bike. It's like got 30 inches by 30 inches of grill space, and I can open the thing. I haven't actually tried grilling while riding since the grill bike event, the Pedalpalooza event. And I think we only lost probably three hot dogs.
That's amazing, because you had no retention. This is a new terminology for all you layman grillers out there. you know, you gotta have some retention for your cylindrically shaped objects. Cylinders roll off the side, whereas, you know, hot dogs are great because of their ability. You know, you just got them in the pack and put them on there and heat them up. It's great. You know, once you're getting into the burger game, though, you have to deal with, you know, the fact that, you know, you have to have ice, and you got to have all their dynamics going on. But the great thing about the burger is that it will stay on your grill through a high, you know, going 20 miles an hour, you know, 15 to, well, 12 to 15 to maybe 20 on a downhill, whatever, you know, if we're going to break it down. But, Yeah, so that's amazing. I'm looking back on that, you know, because I didn't know that fact, and that's amazing. Because I have all sorts of retention going. I focus more on attention, just keeping that stuff in the cooking spot there.
Well, let's not forget about your setup, though, because yours is pretty sweet. He's got some pretty good aerodynamics for air cooling. Even though sometimes the wood does catch on fire, he'll have to pull over and put some water on it.
Yeah.
But he puts an aluminum tray on top and below the grill, so he's got like a warming section.
Yeah, the warming section has turned out – I haven't actually done a lot of warming down there, but the warming section keeps my main platform from catching fire and then burning the rubber of the, you know, the tire underneath. So essentially a lot of the problems you have when you're grilling by bike is that when you're doing it at high speed is that you can catch your – a lot of things on fire, and including yourself. And,
was there a point in which you were afraid, like, oh shit, like I'm gonna actually suffer some?
Oh, I have, yeah, burns. I have burns. Yeah, I have burns for sure. But there, you know, you get little burns though. It's just little, you know. It's fun, but, you know. It's all like when we did the gorilla bike ride. Yeah, I had, for the week after, I had a number of burns in my arms and legs primarily, you know, little red marks and things like that. But that was all like, you know, because it was all done in that way at that level for the first time. So that's kind of, you know, kind of fun to just see what happens.
Sure. And, in a way, they're sort of like, I don't know, like battle scars.
Yeah.
And,
you
know,
yeah. People loved it. Yeah. Here you are, like, it. Just barely able to ride your bike. I had to like stand up on my top tube for a while and just all the charcoal just kind of.
He's on a fixed gear.
And it just, which, you know, that doesn't have a whole lot to do with it, but reliability's sake, the bike is very simple and there's not a lot to catch on fire.
How are your lungs?
My lungs were, I definitely woke up after that ride.
You got like all of the fumes and
so my way of doing it is not very smart. Like JP has it down with keeping the lid on. I like to kind of bring people in with the, you know, I like to just ride on fire. I love the you know, as much fire as possible, and I always have lighter fluid and, you know, like a torch on hand. I really like just the theatrics of it. You know, people love it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and I love it too. I mean, I'm a pyro. I love fire, like,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And
I can relate.
So, you know, really, you know, a lot of what this goes back to is just really when you look really far back is when I was doing this initially was about 7 years ago. For I think it was at my friend Trevor Harold from Corvallis. It was his birthday. And we did a birthday ride for him, and I looking back, I don't know what got me possessed to do it, but I did strap a grill onto my front rack, and I grilled like oysters and you know,
classy stuff.
That's another dynamic is, you know, you have many dynamics at play, but it's nice to keep your dynamics as high as possible, you know, and max out, you know, as many things as possible. And we did have some oysters going. It wasn't that ride, but a ride it was a couple of rides after that when I was doing my trailer, which is a smarter way to go because you don't have to deal with the fumes coming in your face. But that one, I had shot a 5-point buck up on Lopez Island with my musket. And it was out of hunting.
Are you kidding me? This is a real thing.
Yeah,
really
no,
happening.
Yeah. It was, you know, and
you say this, yeah, just with my musket.
Well,
like people still use these.
Oh yeah, I hunt with muskets all the time. I'm not very good at it, but I do hunt with muskets. And that was a time that I did get the deer, and we'd strung up on the tractor. Me and my sister dressed it, and we brought it down to the valley. And we were just thinking, what's the best way to celebrate this? For me, the only way I could share it with my friends, which happened to be a bunch of bizarre cyclist polo / rando mountain biking folks that are just down for anything, is to, do what I did, and it's just grill it while, you know, we grilled and rode. And we had a dance party in a covered bridge.
What?
And yeah, so the smoke, we had some bacon going too, which generated some smoke. And so we had like this, you know, smoke going on. Then we had some lights blinking from the, you know, the bike lights.
Sure.
And so we had like old dance smoke bacon party going on. And then we had the deer meat as sort of a finale to that. And yeah, that was probably the most concrete memory I have of our early beginnings of all this grilling by bike nonsense. Yeah.
And this was all like in Corvallis.
Yeah, down okay. in Corvallis, which so, is Corvallis, you know, if we're going to give props here,
no,
Corvallis
they actually
is awesome.
Have a lot better biking infrastructure.
It's than, you know, the most funny
granted,
thing.
It's much smaller too. But.
Yeah, but it's beautiful is in terms of getting around by bike for yeah. sure. Yeah. The funniest thing down there, which I actually did participate in, was Critical Mass, which is a complete joke. It's like, we know, man. We know. You know, you don't need to take over the streets by bikes down Corvallis, but some do. It's like, no need.
So fast forward, you're up here in Portland. You meet Swing Bike Eric here. I'm going to call you that.
I like it.
And you guys decide, okay, I guess we'll make it a Pedalpalooza ride. Eric hammers
Eric decided
it down.
It. Yeah. Eric totally decided it. Yeah.
Realizes, okay, if we don't make it, if we don't put a date on this, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
So then it happens. You said you were expecting maybe 20.
Yeah.
How many actually showed? Did we get to that yet?
There's estimates from 100 to 200. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's but, hard. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Adam Newman of Bicycle Time said 200. I would say I was a little, you know.
Let's go with that.
You know, 100 to 200. You know?
Let's go with 200.
So before we move on, we cannot forget to talk about Kurt, who is our new president.
Yes. Yes.
That was the beauty of the Grill by Bike.
That was the ultimate success.
We've inspired so far, I think, two others that we didn't directly know to just strap grills on their bike.
And that's the whole idea there.
It's really not that difficult, everyone. I mean, you don't have to be in showman.
Look at your bike and put a grill on it, you know.
That's to me, it's not about like, can I put this on here? The question is, should I put this on here?
Absolutely.
And that's the question that a lot of us don't have. See, it's just an answer. It's just like, yeah, I'm doing that, and you're our kind of person.
It's really not dangerous, and when you're having a few beers, especially on a group ride, you need to eat hot dogs.
Yeah,
you have to feed the masses, and why not bring your grill with you? You know,
just keep it rolling the whole time.
Ride by fire.
So Kurt is one of these guys who showed up on a trike. And he had this big basket behind him with a massive grill. And,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
did he
saw pictures
okay,
of it.
Yeah. And he kind of showed us up.
He had
up.
A Dutch oven, too, just for the record.
Yeah, yeah.
Gourmet. Gourmet.
Yeah.
He's making brownies as we rolled.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He definitely...
Regular.
I like how... I think that has something to do with the spontaneity of the concept. And especially in this period of time where it's still a pretty ripe idea... it's still, you know, it's blossoming, you know, and yeah. he heard of it and he's our kind of person. He was just like,
on and perfected it.
He was just like, wait a minute. Oh, I have all these ideas.
I got this.
Yeah.
and so,
he did.
Yeah. And so post, Grilled by Bike Ride, we've had, I think, three or four requests now to show up at other bike events.
Oh, yeah?
So the first one was Bike Prom, which is a pretty big ride.
Oh, yeah.
Led by the Dropout crew. And so they asked us to come on down. They said they'd provide the meat, we'd provide the grills. It was a good ordeal.
Yeah,
and
good
so,
balance.
And so Kurt showed up and then one other guy who was inspired.
Yeah, and that's the guy that's also doing – he's like with – he's got like a whole barbecue. I mean, like his job is like making like marinade. Doesn't he have like a whole barbecue business or something like that? I didn't talk to him a whole lot, but from what I did talk to him, I think he's got like his own like barbecue sauce and like,
oh wow,
yeah, all sorts of, yeah. So, and he wants to do like a smoker, and so he did have a grill on the front of his bike, a sweet grill on the front.
Real innovative setup too.
Yeah,
yeah. Like he had all kinds of springs to hold everything in place.
Yeah.
Oh, like so the grill wouldn't like jar.
And that's part of the fun too, is engineering.
Yeah.
Oh, that's grilled,
and
yeah.
One thing we never really anticipated was there's a signature grilled by bike sound, and that sound is all of the metal racks and the clamshells clanging together as you're going over bumps, and it's slightly annoying at first, but when you have a large number, it's kind of the soothing sound. You know you're on a grilled by bike ride, and it's gonna be good.
Yeah, yeah. You don't even hear the deafening, you know, 90 decibels of the metal, you know, slamming around. Yeah, it's hard. You know, the fun of it is the challenge. You know, I have always been, since a kid, filling up sketch pads with drawings of chopper bikes and just all sorts of goofy, you know, human-powered machines. And I've always been an artist. You know, I've always drawn, and I've always, it just always has been such a great combination, you know, mm-hmm. cycling and art. I started, I think, when I was I think I was 10 or 12 back in California, I saw the Kinect sculpture races that would go on down
there. Oh, that's
right. Yeah.
That's right. It's a pretty huge thing down there.
Yeah. And my parents, you know, brought me down there, and thanks to them, I mean, for better or worse, they kind of got me hooked. Seeing all these insane designs go by just got my creativity just going. And ever since then, I've been filling up sketchbooks, whether it was playing bike polo or just making sweet chopper bikes and stuff like that. I also learned to weld when I was, my dad's been a professional welder for his whole life, and he taught me to weld when I was around 13. And so I'd been, you know, just be able to draw it, but also to a limited extent weld it together. You know, granted, they're crappy welds, but like the geometry and all that, you know, bam, it was, you know, it's there at least, you know. And so yeah, I was able to kind of make it, you know, make it happen to some extent. And so that's the fun of all this stuff. The challenge of just making it work, you know, it shouldn't work, but we make it work,
right? And
you
know? So let's get back to
we keep getting off track.
Well, we'll get back to this this night where you're in your basement, you know, figuring out, okay, how do we get this on here? How many of you guys are engineers?
Zero.
I was my parents wanted me to be an engineer, but I always wanted to just be an artist, you know?
Right. I actually did 3 years of engineering college.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. I think it's more just like...
Didn't graduate.
But the point is, like, none of you guys are like, professional, no. like, engineers. This isn't, like, something in your background. It was...
It's definitely, like...
How do we just make this happen? And just with your own engineering...
It's a dream. We're just living a dream.
For the viewers with your headphones, all three of us have beards, and it's really just caveman trial and error.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
We're just being human.
And, we still haven't finished the story, though, and I keep coming back to Kurt because he's awesome, but at the dropout prom, we voted Kurt president, and so Kurt, if you're listening, you're still president. It's because he's so awesome. He was making quesadillas and Dutch oven brownies and just so many things that we never thought of.
So this is
president.
Yeah,
he is one
of
those
grilled by bike society?
Yeah, he hasn't accepted or anything, but
he doesn't even need. Yeah.
We did a vote, and he's president.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we had up to 200 people, and we rode to, I don't know, maybe three or four different stops, including Laurelhurst Park, where a crazy frisbee game broke out with, I don't know, maybe five or six frisbees and 50 people in a ring.
That was sweet.
Which was really fun. And we were just having so much fun there that we just stayed there. And, you know, the real problem of our event was we didn't have enough grills to actually grill while biking. So we were able to do a significant amount, but we weren't able to grill everyone's meats.
There's a lot of demand. And
yeah.
So that was the greatest part, though.
We had to keep stopping.
That was the greatest part, because we created demand.
The beauty, too, was the variety of what people brought.
Yeah, there was some elk,
sweet potatoes.
Yeah, on the dropout ride.
Oh,
the
pineapple, asparagus was awesome.
Bananas. Yeah. I mean, I think I grilled more things than I've ever seen grilled in my whole life that night. And it was actually a full-time job.
Yeah.
The fun part is when another person will, if you are at a stop, you know, there's a lot of people that want to get involved. So there's like, sign me up. Yeah. Give me some lighter fluid. Let's do this. You know, because you do have to cycle the charcoal. And right. So when you do have a stop, that's the time to bust out the charcoal at the Kingsford, you know. Yeah.
How many brands and products have we plugged in this episode? Like the Tim Mooney episode was like we subtitled that our sellout episode, but I think we dethroned that.
I like Talladega Nights and Will Ferrell too much. Taco Bell.
But yeah, Kingsford, you know, I hate Kingsford generally, but for this, it just works so good.
It was your briquette of
Yeah, it just works because I've tried like the hardwoods and I've tried ones because you're breathing it, you know? You want to breathe some good...
you don't want to breathe a petroleum product if you don't have to.
And granted, for all you guys out there that may get into this after hearing this, put it, you know... And this makes sense, and you'd probably make fun of us for even doing the front, but doing it in the front only works if you do it like JP has with the lid on. If you want to just like get some raging fire on, though, you put it, you know, put it on your rear rack somehow. You know, that's what I'm working on right now for the way that I like to do it, because I like to flare up that flame. I'm working on some different ideas where I can potentially even be squirting lighter fluid and doing a wheelie at the same time, shooting out like a 10-foot flame. You know, that, you know, those are some of the ideas in my head. You know, where, you know, you aim for that and you see where you get. But I would say in the future, for all you guys out there that are either getting stoked about this, is to mount it on the back and use the Kingsford because it just works. All those hardwoods and things are great, but they don't withstand the rattling. There's a lot of vibration going on.
Yeah, a lot of air volume.
You need a dense charcoal. Yeah. Straight up coal would probably work. Straight up forge.
And yeah, Eilif, you cannot do this in like a forest fire danger area.
No, no.
He was leaving hot coals like on the road pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
A trail of hot coals.
Did anyone get after you guys for that or...?
Hopefully you get after us and roll with us, because you know, that's just the mentality. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a little sketchy, but it's like, you know what? Life's too, you know...
It's too short for...
Life. It's too short, and, you know, sometimes you gotta make some fire and take some risks, you know? That's not necessarily how you have to... That's the way I do it, you know? But, you know, you don't have to do it that way, you know? There's many options. We're just blazing the trail here. You guys can take it in safer range or... whatever range you want to do it, you know. Yeah.
JP, didn't you have an incident?
I don't know. Up on the
zoo bomb there. Was it? Well, it was that we're talking about the zoo bomb one. Yeah, and you were debating whether, was it a ponderosa? What was the...
It's a ponderosa pine, which was...
Oh, right.
It was...
A protected tree that... You know, I had my swing bike, grill bike doesn't exactly stand up with the kickstand, so I had to lean it up against a ponderosa, which I figured was fireproof. You know, they can withstand fires.
You know, you were like the lady came by and was like getting up on you, but being your classic like over safety, you know, oriented Argonian grandma. #grandma bless your soul.
So did you set the tree on fire?
No.
That was the whole point. Like they apparently you were saying that those are highly fire resistant, right?
I mean, they withstand forest fires, basically.
Yeah,
so.
They can withstand. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
But, yeah.
So if you do feel the need to grill by bike through a forest, Look for a Ponderosa forest.
Yes, if you're gonna lean up, if you're gonna lean your bike up on something,
someone's gonna listen to this and actually do this.
Granted, we have a lot of information.
And don't do this in California, guys.
Yeah. So, so moving forward, we're probably gonna try to do this like once a month during the nice months.
Yeah,
and then at least, maybe three times a month during the crappy months.
Yeah. Okay, I like that mentality. Yeah, yeah.
And now it's on the air. Yeah. Now everybody.
It has been spoken.
It's already in the shift calendar.
Nice. See, that's Eric doesn't. It doesn't mess around with dates. He just doesn't.
Well, that's cool because it forced you guys to like actually sit down and mount your grills onto the bike there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, any last advice for those of us who are grill curious?
Right on fire.
I think you guys should like have sort of the stereotypical bike club cut off jean jacket vest, you know, with your logo blazoned on the back.
If for the viewers at home, a number of us are wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thing.
We
so,
like to keep the Aloha vibes. You know? Yeah. We've spent some time out there and, you know, there's...
Kind of like dads on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is going to be a Pedalpalooza ride next year, by the way.
Dads on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm really curious as to what that ride would entail.
It's up to your interpretation.
Well, it's going to happen.
All right. So we're about 50 minutes here. Shall we move into some mail or headlines?
Yeah,
I'll let you guys choose which one we do first.
Let's do mail.
Mail.
Mail it is.
All right. The most embarrassing
thing.
We
got mail.
Yep. I'm never going to live this down.
So is that actually you? I never really heard.
That is actually me.
Okay.
It was during the Ethan Jewett episode, and I don't know if it was edited out, but there was... I blame the kombucha. So we couldn't get the actual regular male sounder to go for whatever reason, and so I just started riffing on that.
That's awesome.
Like, Ethan, I think, said something to the effect of, like, just read the mail, Aaron. I think he was getting annoyed with me, which, by all rights, he should have been. Because of that, we've got this. All right, there it is. and then Brock got out his little MIDI keyboard and put some music to it. All right, first off, from Johnny K in Florida, and Johnny K, being the ever diligent researcher that he is, sent us the secret agent 004 was in the movie Thunderball. Well, at least according to this website, and we'll link that. You should keep Tim on while Brock is on sabbatical. I would have loved to, but unfortunately, he is also on sabbatical, and he is now touring south. Anyway, and not much to say this week. However, I could go on and on about the jerk from the Washington Post. Stupid is as stupid as stupid does. You guys...
That guy's a dick, yeah.
this article in the Washington Post, I'm not going to, like, kick a dead horse here already, but he basically... wrote an article. It was an opinion article, so you know, I guess I can't get on him too much, but in his opinion, hyperbolizing that, you know, one of these days out here in DC, you know, us drivers are gonna get sick of you cyclists, and we're gonna like stick a broomstick handle into your spokes, and you'll have only yourselves to blame because you're annoying us drivers.
Man, that's all you guys, a broomstick? I mean, at least you come up with something more creative than that.
Yeah. shove a spatula.
He's driving his car, and unfortunately, he's just not having fun.
Just happens to have broomsticks with
him. Yeah, who has broomsticks in their car?
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, I'll just pull out my broomstick. Oh, shoot, another broomstick? Oh, no.
And where is this broomstick being pulled from? That is the question.
Wait, so are you 005? Because you were going to go
no,
on.
No, I'm 004. So that's what he says.
Oh, okay.
Agent 004 in the movie Thunderball. I actually read this and he's dead. He died in Thunderball. Or actually his whereabouts are unknown. Mm. Next up. Oh no, this is also from Johnny K. also referenced the other Moonies. There is Marvin K. Mooney. Will You Please Go? Written by Shel Silverstein. Hey, Tim. Are you any relation? Next, from Wayne Norman. Dear Aaron, between episode 188 and 189, there was a change in the list of sustaining donors. 188 reads, thanks to our sustaining donors for supporting our show costs. Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Melamgard, Roger Grigsby, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, and Justin Martin. Episode 189 reads, thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Melamgard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, and Justin Martin. Somehow, Roger Grigsby, Wayne Norman was changed to Roger Grigsby and Wayne Norman. I can assure you, Roger and I are not together. Love the show. Keep up the good work, Wayne Norman.
That's an awesome email.
That's something... And I honestly don't know how that change happened, other than I think I copy and pasted a old show note and then just added the other ones without realizing there was that "and" in there. But a testament that our sustaining donors just keep sustaining us and they keep coming. And thank you all again. The beers you gentlemen are enjoying are thanks to our donors.
Thank you, donors.
Thank you.
I'm almost done.
Next up from Eric Wallstrom. Oh, I would love your guys' input on this. Dear Sprocket, I've listened from the beginning and always enjoy your shows. Aaron, feel free to nerd out whenever you like. It's always fun. I've started to ride my bike to work up to a 20-mile ride. Oh, and up to a 20-mile ride with my kids. I found that as I ride, my hands go numb. It is obnoxious. I have ergo grips, and I thought this was to prevent hand fatigue and numbness. Do I have them positioned wrong? Is there an optimal angle to have them at? What about bar ends? Will they help? I would hope to make it more than 2 miles before I can feel most of my fingers. Anyway, thank you for great shows. Congrats on the new studio. Keep up the good work. Eric in Vancouver. And Swing Bike Eric has some advice, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's definitely related to a posture issue from not riding a swing bike.
You have more lateral forces to deal with. Yeah.
Well, and your hands are more active, right? So you're getting more blood.
Yeah, relieve the fatigue, definitely.
Relieve the fatigue.
Ride on fire.
Ride on fire. We're just spitting out all sorts of slogans. Honestly, my real, like, serious opinion, Eric in Vancouver, is go get a fitting. I'm actually doing this sometime in the upcoming weeks. I'm paying somebody $150.
You going to Western Bike Works to do it?
I'm not. I probably should.
Well, you should, because they do it there as well.
Oh. Plug.
Yeah. You know, this is a funny thing, like, because we've had so many people from the industry, you know, come in, and I feel not necessarily obligated, well, maybe a little bit obligated to, like, keep up those relationships. And the only way I know how to do that is to, like, go and spend money at these places. And so, in a way, I've set up myself to, have a rounds, like when I need something, like, oh, which one haven't I gone to yet? Okay, I guess I'm going to Joe Bike for these new pedals or whatever. This just so happens to be at Gladys Bikes because I'm part of their saddle library and I've been, you know, cycling in and out.
I noticed that test saddle when you rolled in. Is that nice?
Yeah, actually that's like the flattest, least padded saddle. Besides the leather saddles I've tried out. And that one so far is the one I've liked the most instantly. Cool. I'm going to take her up to Vista Point or to the Vista House, hopefully Saturday. And we'll see how that holds up over like a 20, 30-mile ride. What was I saying? Get a fitting. That's the simple is get a fitting.
Or spend years and years trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I mean, you've seen my bike. I do get some hand fatigue quite often. I chalk it up to, well, this is just due to the position I like to be in. I'm very forward. I'm very leaned down. And that was one of the things, you know, the people at Gladys was saying, was maybe like, you know, your discomfort on the saddle is actually maybe in part to the whole problem, the whole process. So yeah, that's kind of my advice, and there's a little bit of my life experience there with it.
Get a swing bike.
And get a swing bike. And ride on fire. Next up, from Roger Grigsby, sustaining donor. Brock, after listening to that show, I'm sorry to report to you that I canceled my $5 a month donorship. I knew this was going to happen eventually, but this show really was the, quote, last straw, as they say. Sorry, I can no longer support you guys at that level.
What?
Why?
I suppose I should mention, though, that not long after visiting PayPal and canceling my subscription, I went back to your site and subscribed at the still too cheap rate of $10 a month. But still have a bone to pick with you. Why don't you offer a less cheapskate subscription offer? I mean, come on, guys. If you had a $20 a month button, I might have picked that one. Might have. Still cheap at $4 to $5 a show. Is there something in the air in Portland that causes this glass ceiling effect, or do all people think that bicyclists are cheapskates and hence expect them to be cheapskates only by offering cheapskate possibilities for supporting this good stuff? Maybe that could be a philosophical topic for discussion on a show
someday. The whole episode. Right there. Yeah.
You could just have like a, you know, if you go to the donate page, it goes to like Portland cheapskate and then like other person. And then that breaks down your finance options.
You should donate. It'll start off, what is your median income? Yeah. And then it'll give you a suggested, based on this, we suggest you donate this much. Roger, thank you so much. I am humbled and I'm so grateful. And I don't know why we don't have more cheap or less cheapskate options other than the fact that maybe we are self-conscious. Maybe we fear asking too much. That's my theory on a really surface level. I could go deeper, but like you said, that could be a whole show in and of itself.
There it is. It's the way she goes.
I would just like to say that ILF has a really good radio or podcast voice.
It's not bad.
It's kind of like a NPR type voice.
Oh, nice. Oh, thanks. I've never done one of these before, but thanks,
really?
Guys.
Really? No, it's working for you. And that's all of our mail. And at this point, Brock would do some sort of little ditty, but I don't have that. So we'll just jump right into headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the...
All right. So first off, from gearjunkie.com, Brock found this in... sent this on to me with the tagline, holy shit, I'm drunk in Eastern Washington and this looks amazing. It is a triple fat tire trike made for sand and snow.
Oh yeah, I've seen
you guys gotta check this shit out here. What may be the front runner for the heaviest, weirdest, and slowest fat bike on the market? We introduce the Juggernaut. This mutant creation is the newest trike from California-based brand Rungu, R-U-N-G-U, called a bullfrog trike. This thing has a single wheel in the rear and two wheels up front. A special steering system on the bars allows the wheels to pivot together. At 55.8 pounds, it is insanely heavy, yet the brand claims that the 26-inch front wheels with over 29 inches in projected diameter overcome obstacles up to 6 inches tall at crawl speed. The Juggernaut is available online now for $2,600. While we've yet to ride this monster, we being the people at gearjunkie.com, judging from the wide front wheels and funky bar setup, it's likely wouldn't be good for much other than riding in a straight line. So my question to you, Mr. Swing Bike People, is what do you think of this giant motherfucker?
I don't know what to say. I'm a bit thrown off.
I would say, I've looked at this one before, and I felt like I came to some epiphany about it. I think the only epiphany is that it can, if you're not moving, it'll stand upright.
Which is good for loading tube steaks.
So yeah, if you're loading up your steaks on there, I think this would be a good grilling bike in terms of its lateral stability and vertical compliancy.
JP, you had.
I think the 6-inch obstacle would definitely be feasible with that.
I just noticed the ending theme is playing. How long has that been going? All right. Next up, from Bike Portland, who we get most of our news via Byline. The title is missing. I think it was something to the effect of, as bike tourism takes off in Oregon, so does transit options. For example, for $30, you get 7 days of bus service between Portland and several destinations along the Oregon coast. As bike tourism matures throughout Oregon, its economic ripple effects are being felt in many interesting ways. With more people seeking out the growing number of bike adventures being developed by both public and private sector, transit providers are responding to meet a growing demand for car-free tourism. This demand is growing because, for many people, having to drive a car to their riding destination is a major buzzkill, if not a deal-breaker altogether. Fortunately, we've noticed a growing number of developments in bike transit options that allow people access to destinations they could never or don't want to reach by leg power alone. Just last month, Amtrak also announced that their baggage cars on long-distance routes, oh, we've covered this before, but for long roll-on, or yeah, will allow for roll-on storage. So far, they're calling it a test, and it's only in limited markets, but hopefully we'll see these on trains that service Oregon soon. And I believe the Cascade routes, actually, has roll-on service now.
Cool.
Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. These improvements in transit options illustrate how the menu for car-free adventuring in Oregon continues to expand in delicious ways. All you need is a bike and a plan.
And a grill.
And a grill. Yeah, so the next step is like getting your grill bike onto the train.
We've done that. Or... Well, we've done it on the Max, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty entertaining.
What was some of the reactions they had on the Max?
I mean, definitely got some looks, but none of them are red hot. So
yeah, we didn't have them going at the time. Right. That would have been a different story. Maybe a good story. I don't know. We'll leave that for a future episode.
Yeah, we'd love to have you in for like, you know, future grilling or even like other adventures that you.
Yeah, well, you know, do like a, you know, annual, you know, grill symposium.
Yeah, we can, you know, follow up to see how all of our burns are doing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
See, like,
I don't think I have
if your forearm hair has grown back.
Yeah,
and that.
Yeah.
So I was gonna ask, we have reached the end of all things. I was gonna ask who would like to read the ending credits, but Eric, I really think, being that not only are you now a new sustaining donor, but you've sort of instigated this whole episode and this crew, I think you should be reading this.
I'd love to.
I will turn this over to you.
Oh, no.
And you've listened, so the challenge is, as always, you make it before the drum break.
Oh, okay. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics or guests. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text to 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder. And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina,
Melamgard, Roger Grigsby, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, and Terra Firma, otherwise known as Eric Iverson. Peace out!
Production.